Welcome back to Cryptids and Cold Ones. I am John.
You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, woo, wheeling dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
Woo! I'm Evan.
When I can't stop fiddling, I just takes me riddling. I'm puffin' and sailin', man.
And I'm Kyle.
Wow, wow, isn't that nice?
I just want to point out that we get copyright infringement strikes on YouTube every time I play that Ric Flair sound. And it's not because it's Ric Flair, but because some rapper used it in the beginning of one of his songs.
Seriously.
So we get a copyright strike from the rapper.
Not the Ric Flair.
But it only doesn't send our YouTube videos out to Russia and one other place. And I was like,
oh, darn.
I'm leaving it in.
It's like we have a copyright strike.
That's how I had
that
kids.
That is specific to Russia. It's like, sorry, Russian audience.
Sweet. This is capitalist bullshit.
Oh, housekeeping.
Housekeeping!
Want me fluffy pillows.
Our link tree is in our show notes, per usual.
It is. You can go
the huge.
You can click on it.
Find all of our socials. Our Patreon, which we are live on right now as we record. Three tiers.
Yeah.
The lowest tier, you get ad-free. Entry to the Discord. Second tier, you will get ad-free Discord, and then you will also get the video versions of the podcast, if that's what you're into.
If that's what you're into.
And then the top tier, you will get everything, including getting to hang out with us live every 3 weeks when we record.
Yep.
We'll be live on Patreon the whole night while we record, and you will get to hang out with us.
Even when we're just talking, we won't even be like recording all the time. We might just be bullshitting.
Yeah. Yeah. So check it out. I've got 18 episodes. Our first 18 episodes, re-edited them as best I could. We were using pretty inferior technology.
Yeah, we've come a long way.
They sound a lot better than they did. I feel like I did pretty good on them.
Yeah.
They are very clear. I've got 99% of the background noise out of them. Somehow I lost a good portion of your Black Monk episode, but I have the full version. I'm just going to have to re-go through it and get rid of all the ads that are in it.
I mean, worst case, I can redo it.
Yeah.
I still got it on the old typewriter.
There was one episode I was re-listening to that I was like, man, we should redo this episode just because I couldn't get the audio to where I wanted it.
Yeah.
It's better than it was. I don't remember which one it was. I think it was the Michigan Triangle one.
That was such a good episode, too.
I think it was the Michigan Triangle. But I did send you to the link. If you go into your podcast app and load in a custom RSS feed, it'll just, you won't have to do anything special. It'll just pop right up in there for you.
Heck yeah.
So, the Patreon, that's in the link tree.
Don't forget to tell them about the way to give us money for our documentary.
Yes, that is the top link in our link tree is the crowdfunder for the documentary that we want to do. We just really want to get some good high-quality cameras that we can record at night while we go out.
Yeah.
That's really it.
Yeah. We got everything else covered. We just need night-vision capabilities for videoing.
So, yeah, check that out as well. I think I'm going to be putting some stuff out on Reddit to try and find some people that would be interested in doing sit-down interviews for the documentary.
I have somebody to interview.
It's okay.
So actually, I think I might have two people to interview. So,
Yeah. That's about that for the housekeeping.
Excellent.
So we could probably
are we gonna get into the good stuff?
Get into the
it's a cool looking can.
I drank a beer.
What?
I drank another beer. Three beers. Four beers.
Oh no.
Five beers. Six beers. Seven beers. Eight beers. Nine beers.
So today we are drinking Keweenaw Brewing Co. Widowmaker. It's a black ale. And I have to say this was my introduction to UP microbrews. It was a pretty good one. I'd never heard of it before, and I go up to the UP to visit some friends for the first time, since like forever ago. This is probably 15 years ago. And it was on tap everywhere. And it's good. I like it.
It's one of my favorite ones from Keweenaw.
I'm going to read the can.
We got to start doing Evan Reed's cans, but we got to have like certain music behind in the background. Yeah. Like either like a orchestral theme or like a pastoral sound.
It depends on what mood he's in.
I know.
Are we going to have to play the Monster Jam songs or classical music?
Yeah, no, right.
What are you feeling tonight? I mean,
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Well, it just comes to me as
okay. Post-production type.
Post-production. Yeah. Says, don't be afraid of the dark. Black ale. Easy on the hops and easy on the palate. A light-bodied ale with hints of smoky molasses and a surprising depth of malt flavors. The Widowmaker, an early pneumatic drill without benefit of dust suppression, introduced to the copper country in the 1890s, contributed greatly to the mortality of miners due to prolonged dust inhalation.
What the?
So anyway, that's what this beer is named after.
All right.
That's dark.
Yeah. It is.
Wow. I guess it makes sense why this is a black ale.
Yes. It's fucking good, though. 5 out of 5.
Black lung brew.
It's like, I got the black lung pops.
This shit's good.
Yeah, 5 out of 5 for me.
It's your turn this week, bud.
Aren't you gonna rate it?
Oh yes.
How many toes?
5 feet.
5 feet.
5 feet.
Excellent. Well, that's 25 toes.
5 feet.
As the non-beer drinker of the crew, it's fun to watch you guys, you know. Evan usually makes his face is usually his eyes squint. No offense. But John is more like, I don't know, he's more of a character when he drinks. You can tell, like, whether he likes it or doesn't. And it's fun to sit back and, you know. Like, I think the last time we recorded, you made some facial expressions.
I did.
They're hilarious because I think we had a cheese beer.
Yes, it was.
And that was like,
that was terrible.
It was like.
That was comical.
I got some feedback on the show recently, and someone said they really enjoy your episodes, but sometimes it sounds like you struggle to read.
Me? Yeah.
He went to the Derek Zoolander School for Kids.
And I said, well, it's the Benjamin before we start.
Oh, man.
That's funny.
That is awesome.
And then I was told it sounds like I'm reading from a script too much. But we appreciate the feedback. So if you guys want to give us some reviews, comment on our stuff, that'd be awesome as well. Yeah. It's been bleak and quiet on the social media front.
Yeah.
So
it has been. So
give us something to read.
Yeah, I want to read it. I will read it in my theatric voice. If you comment, you can just say anything. Just say the worst things, and I will read it. Like, it's like the teleprompter from Anchorman. It's like, don't say that. He'll just read it. I will.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Exactly.
It means a whale's vagina.
San Diego.
Sorry, John's dad.
So, we ready to get going on the show?
We are.
We are. We're actually doing the show right now.
It's all yours.
We're doing this, brother.
So, whether our listeners know it or not, this episode has been a long time coming. I started doing research on the topic about a year ago and didn't know if I had enough to turn it into an episode. Then, I think it was a couple weeks ago, one of my favorite purveyors of fine arms sent an email advertising Turkish-made clones of the Spas 12, and it was at that point I knew it was meant to be. Now, if you know, you know. But that was a dead giveaway about what I'm going to be discussing tonight. Especially if you know a few things about cryptids and weaponry.
Isn't that weird how we, at least how I come across, it sounds kind of similar, how we come across stories. It's weird. Like, you, Turkish shotgun. And
yeah.
Then you're like,
eh. And then next thing you know, you have an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a weird string. It wasn't. Like, some of these are pre-planned, you know, like, yeah. I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to, you know, and then you're like, you go down that tism hole,
yeah.
And you're just like, ah, oh, shit.
And here we are. Yeah. And here we are. So, tonight, we're traveling to my second favorite South American country, Chile.
Chile.
Chile. John, Kyle? I know you're both thinking, what strange reason is this weirdo going to cite for liking Chile? Well, apart from the sea bass, Chile is known for being tough on socialism. So much so that when Pinochet was running the show.
Is it tough on foot fungus, like tough actin tenactin?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Did you say Percocet? Or Pinochet?
No, I said when Pinochet was running the show, The Chilean government offered free helicopter rides with scenic ocean views to hundreds of socialists. This was throughout the 70s and 80s. Surprisingly, I think Pinochet created a government program that they were not in favor of. But anyway, enough talk about effective means of dealing with the plague that is socialism. Let's talk about a dinosaur. And not just any dinosaur. We're going to be talking about the coolest one. In the words of Robert Muldoon, my favorite character from the Jurassic Park franchise, they have cheetah speed, 50, 60 miles an hour, and they're astonishing jumpers. That's right. We're talking about motherfucking raptors. Solid.
That was pretty good. Like, yeah.
So, gentlemen, Chile is known for being home to an interesting variety of climates, one of which is the Atacama Desert, which is tucked away in the remote northern region of Chile. And is said to be home to the Arica monster.
The Arica monster?
A-R-I-C-A.
Did you date an Arica at one time?
No,
I didn't.
No.
Okay, neither did I. So we don't have anything to laugh about.
I knew an Arica. That's a story for off air.
Roger. Yes. So, the Atacama Desert is roughly 40,441 square miles of the driest non-polar desert in the world. To put that into better perspective for our American audience, that's a region that's about 33 square miles larger than the state of Kentucky. The entire Atacama region has a population density of 11 people per square mile, which is pretty desolate and similar to the population density of good old North Dakota, if anyone is wondering. However, most of those 11 people per square mile are actually clustered in coastal towns, and there are vast swaths of land where there's just nothing. While some areas in the desert are explored, large hyper-arid and high-altitude zones remain wild and difficult to access. Despite being drier than Christmas Eve steak, there are many animals that reside in the Atacama Desert. I'm glad you guys caught that.
You just snuck it in there.
I know I had to.
Oh, wow.
I wrote that part just so you
deadpan,
guys.
Deadpan, like, yeah. You're like, are they listening?
Yeah, I knew you were.
We are. we will not go further with that one.
No.
Inside.
So,
Christmas episode.
Christmas episode, yes. So, large numbers of a wild relative of the llama called the Guanacos roam free in the region, as do the South American gray fox, the lesser rhea, an emu-type bird, and the southern vizcacha, which is a close relative to the chinchilla. They all call the desert their home, which... That's right, Kyle. An apex predator. Oh, enter the Erica monster. So, the Erica monster is described as a 6 foot tall bipedal kangaroo or reptilian creature with sharp teeth and 3-toed footprints that moves really fucking fast via bounding hops and resembles a velociraptor. So, sightings began being reported internationally beginning in the 1980s, but were probably pretty prevalent prior to that, but no one outside of Chile reads Chilean newspapers, so we'll never know. What we do know is that most of the sightings are reported by motorists traveling on a remote stretch of road between Iquique and Erica. So, yeah, that's how it got its name. Guys, can you imagine if they called it the Iquique monster? It just sounds like some sort of South American version of a squawk or a retarded Pokemon.
Be a lot cooler if they did.
It's like the bird version of fucking Magikarp. Iquique used Leer. It's ineffective. No shit. Anyway, the point is the Erica monster sounds way cooler. So...
A liberal used Pfizer. It did not work. Anyways.
One of the most famous sightings of the Erica monster was by a Chilean military officer by the name of Hernan Cuervas. Cuervas stated that he spotted 2 of the creatures while traveling with 2 other adults and 2 children in a vehicle. Cuervas described it as a huge beast, much like a dinosaur. Huge thighs, and described the creature as being exactly like the raptor from Jurassic Park. So this actually took place after, what was that, 93? When Jurassic Park came out?
93, 94 or something.
Yes.
So it's sometime after Jurassic Park. So.
Spared no expense, only hires Dennis Nedry.
Yeah, I know, right? So, as listeners of the show, probably a lot of them have watched a show called Destination Truth.
Oh, yeah.
Solid show, but I think it's you can still watch it on Prime, right? Anyway, they did an episode on the Erica monster where they traveled to Chile in search of it. To quote a monologue from the show, it seems that reports of possible dinosaurs living in the Atacama Desert have come to light in recent years. In 2004, several members of the Abet de la Tor Diaz family described a confrontation with 4 dog-faced kangaroo-like creatures that surrounded their car as they journeyed home to Erica. But they are not the only ones who have seen something strange. Other motorists have also reported coming into contact with an animal that looks like it had stepped out of a time capsule. So, in that episode, the crew goes and interviews members of the Abet de la Tor Diaz family and gets their firsthand accounts and also talks with a local paleontologist by the name of Cordero Santoro from the University of Tarapacá, who has been studying the reports of the creature. He communicates that the region has yielded significant fossil finds that indicate the region had a plentiful population of dinosaurs in the past, and shared the belief that a raptor would be able to remain relatively undetected as long as there is sufficient vegetation and canyons in which to live and hide. So, that's interesting. You have a scientist saying something like that. So I recall when watching the show, at the time I was thinking, how the hell is a dinosaur that big going to live in the desert? But during the episode, it was clear that the canyons in the region are chock full of life-supporting vegetation and water. In one part of the episode, the crew filmed something large on the thermal crashing through tall grass near the riverbed, but end up losing it. I couldn't help but thinking to myself that entire time, don't go into the tall grass! Like the one guy in Jurassic Park.
Speaking of warnings, I just want to let the public know that if you Google Erica Monster or the Erica Monster and go to images, you will get a bunch of pictures of monster models.
In anime.
In anime.
Oh, okay.
You will not actually see what people depict the Erica Monster as.
Noted. Happy to hear that. So, don't go into the tall grass.
Yeah, I was wondering what you were looking at in your computer. I'm like, don't go in the...
I was trying to see a depiction of it. I was going to put it on this nice computer monitor I have sitting behind me.
Dope. That beautiful face on it, too.
Yeah, I would have to hide Jeff Goldblum, though.
That'd be upsetting. So, I find it interesting that the reports of this thing vary from a fucking velociraptor to a dog-faced kangaroo. And it's possible we're talking about two totally different unknown creatures just happening to reside in the same area. Either way, I want to hunt them. In the end, there is speculation that the Erica Monster could be a misidentified rhea, which is a large three-toed flightless bird that has long legs and matches descriptions of the creature's size and speed. But here's the deal, Jack.
You dog-faced pony soldier.
Look up a picture of the South American rhea. It looks like...
How do you spell it? R-E-A? Or?
R-H-E-A, like diarrhea.
Cha-cha-cha.
It looks like an emu or an ostrich, which does not look like a reptile, nor does it look like a dog-like kangaroo.
No, the face looks like a... Like those animals I see at the zoo down the road.
Yeah. So I'm not buying it.
Nope.
Plus, these things are not regularly spotted by the road and are often only seen at high altitudes. I mean, this is one of those regions where I'm just like, there has to be an undiscovered creature there because nothing that we know of in this area really fits the description. And I don't like to discount eyewitness accounts. You know how I am on that kind of stuff. And there's a large areas in this desert that simply just aren't explored. Basically, I'm calling it that there's something there. I don't know if it's a raptor, but it'd be way more cooler if it was. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what they described it as. So, what do you guys think? Well, before that, I was talking about hunting this thing earlier. What are you guys using? I'm calling Spas 12 primarily for style points and aesthetic. what about you guys?
Savage Axis and 308 once it's sighted in.
Marlin 4570.
I like it. I like it. So, gentlemen, we're going to switch gears a little bit here now.
I just want to bring up that in our episode discussion section of the Discord, or the episode ideas section.
Yes.
It was brought up that we should, instead of, as well as describing what we would shoot it with.
Yes.
What do we think their favorite alcoholic brew would be?
Ah. Ooh.
Hmm. I like this.
Now, are we limited to beer or is it a...
It's anything.
Interesting. I like that.
I don't know what a... I would choose something that is local to Chile, but I don't know any Chilean things other than sea bass and killing socialists. So I'm going to go with tequila. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I'm thinking dragon's milk.
Oh, I like it.
Just because it kind of fits, you know?
I agree.
I got nothing. I had a... I I have to say, though, you've been saying Chile rather hilariously. And I had a Spanish teacher in high school from Chile, but I always, like, I always messed with him, but I always called it Chile. And he just pissed him off so much. And I literally, like, Chile sounds like a cool place, but I know nothing about it. I'm not going to disrespect it by saying tequila. That's fucked up. Ah, they're all the same. Tequila. That's basically what you said.
Oh, I did do that, didn't I?
Not intentionally, obviously.
There is a company from Chile known as Cuntsman.
Yeah, dude. Just leave it at that. What company is it?
Like, they make traditional German style lagers.
There's a lot of travel from Europe to South America in the 40s. So anyway, switching gears a bit, we are now headed north to another desert and traveling back in time a bit to 1942. To the Jornada del Muerto Desert in New Mexico. A little super secret project, now well known as the Manhattan Project, is in full swing. Obviously, this is where our team of scientists successfully created the atomic bomb.
Thanks, taxpayers.
Which we later used on the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But do you ever wonder what resulted in us gaining this knowledge to build these super weapons before other countries that we later used to murder thousands of innocent women and children? It's almost like a technology that no one should have ever had. Guys, you ever wonder?
What?
How we got this technology?
Nazis?
Well, well,
war breeds innovation, simple as.
Okay, well, just go with me here now.
Okay.
American physicist J. Robert Oppenheimer headed up the Manhattan Project. You know, the Destroyer Worlds guys? Well,
I am the shitter of pants. That's what I am after I eat Taco Bell. Destroyer of pants.
Well, maybe, just maybe, nuclear weapons are demonic in nature. No different than the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. Yeah, this part is about to get real deep, guys. And there are receipts. When Oppenheimer was at Harvard, his friend group all shared a deep admiration for a decadent French symbolist poetry of Charles Baudelaire. The group playfully adopted a line from Les Litanies de Satan. Later in life, Oppenheimer cited this collection of satanic poetry as most influential. His favorite poem praises Satan as the giver of forbidden knowledge and for giving the light of new inventions. A friend of Oppenheimer, by the name of Isidore Rabi, said, the man often turned away from the hard, crude methods of theoretical physics and into the mystical realm of broad intuition. Oppenheimer often turned to metaphysics to give him knowledge from a mysterious, unknown source. He learned Sanskrit to study the Bhagavad Gita. I don't know how to fucking pronounce that. It's the Indian script. Anyway. But he learned this to study it the same way Bible scholars learn Greek and Aramaic to study scriptures. Without this inspiration, it's said that Oppenheimer might not have been able to direct the Los Alamos projects. More telling, though, gentlemen, is the man named Ground Zero for the first atomic blast, giving it the code name Trinity. So the first victim of atomic weaponry was the Holy Trinity. And then we have the famous line, I am death, the destroyer of worlds. It comes from a Hindu demon god. Was he just citing the demon? Or was the demon taking credit and identifying himself? Gets even more interesting. Jack Parsons, who was also one of the pioneers of American rocketry, who would eventually make long-range nuclear missiles possible, was a devoted follower of Aleister Crowley and joined the Ordo Templi Orientis and reportedly recited Crowley's hymn to Pam during rocket tests. Parsons and good old L. Ron Hubbard performed the Babylon Working, a series of ceremonial rituals using Enochian magic in an attempt to manifest the Thelemic goddess Babylon, and then Parsons later proclaimed himself the Antichrist. Yeah. So basically, the men responsible for nukes and the tech to deliver them were not just interested in the occult. They were practicing ceremonial magic and deliberately attempting to contact with non-human spiritual intelligence. While none of this means that demons helped create nuclear weapons, it does mean that it's not so crazy to think so. It also seems kind of like something the demons would be excited about, if you think about it.
That's what I was thinking.
You know, giving us the technology to destroy ourselves and all?
You are cursed!
It's kind of crazy, you know, you put Satan into the Allied victory and then wash away Hiroshima and Nagasaki as moral acts, automatically sanctified because the Allies committed them? I don't know. All of it just kind of makes sense to me. I don't know. I went down a real rabbit hole with that one, guys. That one was not funny. It was just like pure autism.
You really, really got me at the end when you sealed the deal with, you know, demon's goal is to destroy us.
Yeah.
Through influence. Yep. And they're doing all right, but...
they're definitely not struggling, that's for sure.
No, it's just pretty wild. I mean, as somebody who's just started dabbling into research on that kind of stuff, because I've always been more of a cryptid guy, every once in a while I get on a, ooh, this is a thing.
All started with a shotgun.
And it all started with a shotgun and Chile.
A Turkish copy.
I started working on an Aleister Crowley episode.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And nice. I also want to, you talk about him, you got to talk about Anton LaVey.
Yep.
They go hand in hand. So it's definitely an episode I'm not going to push out in a week.
No, don't. Just take your time.
Yeah.
I mean, I started researching this episode, not this part. This part came together fairly quickly because it was a TISM trip. But I will say the Erica Monster stuff, I didn't have enough info initially to put out an episode. And I still didn't. That's why we added into this demon stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I do little extras or, you know, if there's not mm-hmm. enough.
Yeah, we could add something.
Got to give the people something, you know.
Yeah. I thought this was an interesting mashup episode. Heck,
oh, I love it. Yeah, it was cool. Like,
it's always interesting to hear little like bits and pieces of stuff like that, like what these people were actually into.
Yeah,
yeah.
Did all this stuff because you don't really ever think.
I do. That
the normal person.
That's how I found this out, John.
Knock knock. Who's there? Autism. Where the hose at?
Like, this was stream of consciousness, John.
Not here.
It really was. Like, I'm like, man, nukes are bad. Almost demonic. It's really weird that we were the first one to do that.
Well, it's when you think about that time frame and you think about, you know, we did a whole episode on the Nazis and their occult fetish.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's like, you know.
Apparently our demons were better than their demons.
In school, you're taught good versus bad. you wouldn't expect
that it's
the side that was good in that situation would be into that type of stuff.
It's just bad versus bad. That's why we don't support war here at Cryptids and Cold Ones. It's all bad.
It is.
I completely agree.
Yeah. So.
Dude, that was, you got my head thinking about the whole like nuke thing. Obviously it's like terrible and, but like the demonic connection, you got me reeling. I'm thinking though.
You didn't expect that, did you? Like,
no.
You
no, not at the end. Like, no, what really sealed it for me is like, you know, what I told you, you know, yeah. It's, they want to see us
destroy ourselves.
Because, you know, they fell from God and God created us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they hate God because, and they hate us in turn because we're the creation.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's pretty wild.
It all makes sense.
I seen something the other day.
I seen it.
This is, you know, God created us in his own image. Does that mean that God also poops?
Oh,
my gosh.
Or was that something extra he just decided to throw in there?
It's a bonus.
These humans are pretty cool, but check this out.
It's like, how the fuck did the platypus get made?
Like, there's just
spare parts and yep. Shit.
We need like one more animal, and we got these parts left.
It's like an opossum, you know?
My son is really big into marsupials. His two favorite stuffed animals right now are a platypus and a wombat.
A platypus? Bury the platypus?
It's Platy. And guess what the wombat's name is?
Wally?
Wammy?
No, Rick.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
Wait,
Rick.
I've been trying to befriend the local squirrels of my town.
Same.
By leaving out nice treats for them.
Yeah.
And I felt bad because the other day we were outside and we heard a bunch of commotion in the chicken run. And there was a squirrel inside of it, and he couldn't figure out how to get out.
He was angry.
And he was bouncing off all the walls trying to get out, like slamming headfirst into them. And he eventually got himself out.
Well, that's good.
But it was hilarious because all the chickens just like stopped and was like staring at him. What is wrong with you? Hey. Stop freaking out, dude.
Isn't your brain supposed to be bigger than ours?
If I were a squirrel, that would probably be me.
The chickens are actually pretty smart. You know, they put themselves away at night.
Really?
As soon as it starts getting dark out, they go roost. Huh. If I walk out in the backyard with my little green bucket that I keep all their scratch in, mm-hmm. they will follow me wherever I walk to before I come in.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you, like, put them out during the day?
No.
Oh.
They stay on their run, but it's 8 foot by 12 foot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good size.
Okay.
And I throw all the scratch in there so they got something to peck at. And they have a fountain.
Yeah.
Their water supply got a little.
So it's like a moving water system. Yeah. Dang, bougie.
And then in the back corner, we got the meat chickens and the turkey. And we don't talk to them.
We haven't become friends with those ones.
I go into the egg layers. I go hang out with them. They all get some cuddles while I'm out there. Especially Monica. We named the first chickens we got, we named them after Friends characters.
Which ones got killed?
Chandler. Chandler's gone.
That's kind of funny, actually. Was it a ketamine overdose?
No, it was Hank.
Oh yeah, that was the one.
It was
we had one that drowned itself.
Oh my god, that's literally
was it
how
Phoebe
Chandler died.
Was it Phoebe?
An ketamine no. overdose, and he died in his hot tub.
Yes. But Chandler got ate by Hank.
Okay.
The one that drowned, we didn't have names for that one yet.
Oh, okay.
And then we also had one. The chickens had gotten out one day and something got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then another time they got out and something got another one. I think we got a hawk or something around because I found feathers at the back end of the
crime scene.
The yard, so.
Gentlemen, we have a job to do.
We do. We have to go avenge my chickens.
I think it requires night vision.
I think it does, too.
And firearms, obviously.
I actually believe that a raccoon was getting into the cage. Because it was only the only time that any of this happened was when I didn't go shut their coop door.
Okay.
And raccoons are known chicken killers.
I have experience with exterminating raccoons.
So do I. Which it hurts because I like to think that a raccoon is my spirit animal because I, too, live life like a trash panda.
You know whose real spirit animal is a raccoon? My daughter. cute but feral. Yeah.
But yeah, if you don't have anything else to add, we can.
I'm good.
We can close this one out.
What do you guys think? Did I do good? I know it's been a while since I did a banger. I'm hoping this one's a banger.
I think it was.
I really enjoy your tying things up, you know, and like, you know, going down a little. Well, I mean, what the rabbit hole was what they did. But I mean, you know, I liked it. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Five feet.
Very nice.
Five feet. Yeah.
Super fan Chelsea, let me know if you like this episode.
Well, it is never too late to escape into the wilderness and find some random deity to
make a demonic nuclear bomb.
Help you create nuclear bombs.
Yeah. Good night, guys. Side note, emu war. Do you guys, are you familiar about that?
When from Australia?
The Australians.
The first or second one?
Well, they lost both. So. It's like, fuck you, Australia.